GAO has kept supply chain management on its high-risk list for almost the past quarter century because the military services aren't able to accurately track the location and condition of the items they've already bought. The result is that in some cases, they have more supplies than they'll ever use, an estimated $10 billion worth as of 2011, and in others, not enough. In its 2013 high-risk update, GAO found that incomplete delivery data was interfering with delivery of supplies to troops in Afghanistan. DOD already has a plan in place to improve its property accountability. Since 2005, the Pentagon has required that every piece of tangible property it buys is tagged with a unique machine-readable barcode. But the process is moving slowly. In the Army alone, there are still 8 million items that need to be tagged, says Colonel Jack Wayman, who directs the Integration Improvement Initiative for the Army staff.
And the way we're doing it now, it's going to cost us about $68 million in labor and material, and we developed a process to reduce that to about $48,000. But we were rebuffed. We were told we can't do that because we cannot trust soldiers to follow the process. So we developed an app to help soldiers follow a verbally directed, checklist-driven process to collect simple data, either with a barcode scanning or with embedded speech recognition or keypad entry, with a verbal readback and then a verbal or a touchpad confirmation. And just send the information back, let somebody on the backside do all of the the analysis, the data cleansing, and the barcode registration.
The apps the Army is about to launch are intended to replace a process that relies on proprietary handheld scanners that cost about $2,000 each. They feed data into both the Army's own logistics system, called Property Book Unit Supply Enhanced, and the DOD-wide system, in which each piece of equipment has its own unique barcode called an Item Unique Identification. Those barcodes are DOD's way of tracking military gear across its entire life cycle, and they connect back to a central database operated by the Defense Logistics Agency. The system includes information about the manufacturer, part number, serial number, and last known location of each individual item. But it's only useful once the military manages to stick barcodes onto the billions of items in its inventory.
This program, when fully implemented, will save DOD $3 to $5 billion per year, every year, and the total cost of ownership due to maintenance, plus additional direct and indirect savings and benefits in other areas. But we can't get to that until everything's marked with it's marked, and it's marked with a barcode that's a quality barcode. So we have to have technology adoption in order to do that.
So Wayman says a second aspect of the Army's approach will allow the soldiers and civilians in its depots and other locations to press a button on their mobile devices when they come across a button that's either unreadable or links back to bad data.
We're losing a couple $1 million a year, every year, in unenforceable contracts because people are not reporting defects. Of the thousands that have been anecdotally reported, we have only had 18 formal reports. And the reason is because the process to submit the report is just too hard. It's too labor intensive. So if we can give them the ability to automatically detect, document, and report the barcode to the DOD site, tap OK and walk away, we're good.
Wayman, who describes himself as a specialist in process improvement, not a specialist in IT, says the progress the Army has made so far toward tagging its tangible property has had at least as much to do with reengineering its approach to touch labor as coming up with technological solutions. For example, the Army decided it would make more sense for soldiers in the field to handle only the functions that required a human being to be physically present, like scanning a barcode and examining the condition of an item. But other functions, like entering the item into a database or creating a new barcode, could be either automated or handled remotely by specialists.
The experience that I have in collecting data, anytime we require somebody to put pen to paper or fingers to keyboard to transcribe data, we're asking them to do a lot of other stuff that can be, rehydrated, just collect a minimum amount of information, offload as much as possible from the person to the machine and the software, and then let the information be rehydrated as it goes backwards through the system. So the first thing we did was we studied what is the job to be done. Ignore the form number and the instructions for how to fill out the form. What's the job to be done? Analyze that first. Decompose the minimum essential elements of information, and then start from zero and force the process to prove why the person on the ground has to be the person to collect that data. So, we know that somebody has to reference information. So if you could scan a barcode on a piece of equipment that's permanently encoded on the piece of equipment and then see information about it, then you could do that, you know, as long as you had connectivity. So the first thing we did was we studied what do people do now and why do they do it. Figure out the why. You can figure out how to streamline that.
In Washington, Jared Serbu, FederalNewsRadio.com and 1500 AM.